Father God, we give you thanks. You are indeed a friend of us through Jesus. We know you are always with us. We know you are here to guide us. And we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have any children here today?
Just me.
I see a few. Do you want to come forward from the children's moment while we sing this next song? Come on, Sarah, let me show you.
Good morning.
You feeling good this morning? That's good. This is the end of the summer, isn't it? Towards the end of the summer. You had a good August? Good time? Your friends? Good. You're going to a birthday today?
No, and a pussy cake.
You're going to have the birthday cake. That's wonderful.
And a cake.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. What happens on Tuesday?
And you know a good new party. It's fall.
Yeah, it's fall, but what happens on Tuesday?
School.
School. Enthusiasm. School. At the end of the summer, then we go back to school. Do you go to school?
Yeah. I'm crazy.
Where do you go to school?
No, I'm
just not. But what grade do you go into?
It's Sesky. But she goes to first.
Oh, good. Good. And what grade are you going into?
Grade 4.
Grade 4? Wow. That's good. Well, you're going to school this morning. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And Jesus went to school. We read in the Bible where they found Jesus in the temple sitting with the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And you are in church this morning and you get to go to school when you go downstairs. And you're going to be with the teacher, asking questions and listening to what the teacher has to say about this textbook. Right? It's our guide for living and for helping us to know what Jesus wants us to do. Right? And how we get along with each other. So, did you heard it? Oh, that's too bad. So, enjoy school this morning. Sunday school downstairs. Alright? Let's have a prayer.
I got a jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a prayer. Okay.
A jersey, Mommy.
Lord God, we are thankful that you help us to learn things from your word. And that you give us teachers to help us to understand. Be with us this morning as we learn from your textbook, the scriptures. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Let's once again still our minds and our hearts and focus on our Heavenly Father as we bring Him our prayers this morning. Father God, we do give you thanks for the beauty of the seasons we enjoy here in Canada. We give you thanks for times of rest and relaxation, gathering with family and friends over the holidays. Lord, we pray for each of our families in our church community and in our larger community. We pray particularly now for children returning to school next week. Lord, we pray for safety. We pray that we as drivers will be extra careful now with lots of little children on the sidewalks and crossing streets. Lord, we pray for their safety. Lord, we pray also for our older students among us who are going away to college and university. Lord, we pray for not just their physical protection, Lord, but for their spiritual protection. Lord, as they enter into secular colleges and universities, Lord, where the word of God is not honored, the name of Jesus is not held up high, Lord, we pray for our Christian young people, wherever they find themselves this fall. Lord, we pray for the parents of those children and young people. Lord, we pray for the worry and anxiety that comes across every parent as they begin to let their children go. Lord, we pray that peace that passes all understanding will be in their hearts. Lord, we pray for those who are still away And on their way back, we particularly hold up to you, Dorothy and Bob Slowmite, who are returning from Nova Scotia possibly this week. Lord, we pray for safety on the road as they make their way back to Newmarket. And now in the quietness of this place, in your own hearts, offer up your particular prayers of praise, thanksgiving, and supplication to your Heavenly Father. Father God, hear our prayers, our spoken and our unspoken prayers. For we lift them up to you in the holy name of Jesus, Lord and Saviour. Amen. We all enjoy a time of rest and relaxation that the summer season affords us. And every summer there's one aspect of the summer season that always disturbs me, and it should disturb most of us. And that's the number of accidents there are on our roads and our highways. While people are carefree, they can sometimes become careless. And there are many serious collisions, and some of them have tragic consequences. And what's interesting about this is that our vehicles today are the safest they've ever been. We have all kinds of safety devices on them. We have seat belts, airbags, anti-lock brakes, traction and stability control. And yesterday I saw an advert on television that said that there's even lane assist now. So if you're drifting out off of your lane, there's something in the vehicle which will remind you to get back in lane. I mean, how distracted do you have to be that your car has to remind you to stay focused on the road? And we also have auto park now. You don't have to park your car yourself. You can press a button and it'll park for you. So we've got all of these controls, and we've got a host of electronic devices to ensure the vehicle reliability and passenger safety. I've read now that in the 2014 vehicle year, some vehicles are going to have 10 or more airbags in them. 10 or more airbags, just to keep you safe. Standard equipment. And yet we still have these accidents, and we still have people getting seriously injured and even killed. We even have rules of the road, don't we? We have rules of the roads to ensure that we all play nice when we're sharing the highway together. We have speed limits, we have restrictions on handheld devices, because we still have people phoning and texting and putting on their makeup and drinking a coffee while they're driving. And we have traffic laws that will, if you break them and you're caught, apart from any fines, can allow for your vehicle to be impounded and for you to even be imprisoned. So we're very serious about safety on the roads, aren't we? Very, very serious about that. The problem is it's our own driving habits that's the most dangerous. We don't check our blind spot before changing lanes, and we don't drive at speed limits, and we get engrossed in the radio or in the conversations going on in the car. And we don't focus on the road ahead. There's too many distractions. We don't see the danger. And yet it's all around us. So in spite of all this legislation regarding vehicle operation, vehicle safety, and everything that's built into our vehicles, we still have accidents. We still make mistakes. And we still get injured or worse on the road. Mostly, of course, we have our own selves to blame. We make mistakes. Or sometimes we take deliberate, risky action that results in an incident. Or other people make mistakes, and there's dreadful results. So no matter how many laws there are, how much legislation is in place, how safe our vehicles are, how good a driver we may think we are, there's still risk and danger every time we sit behind the wheel of a car and venture out onto the roads. So we buckle up and we take every precaution because it's dangerous out there. And our spiritual lives are no different. Every time we step into a new day, we're faced with spiritual dangers. We're faced with the temptation to sin. And Scripture sums it up and says we are faced with the world around us, the flesh, which is ourselves, and of course the devil himself. And the world is a dangerous place for a Christian. Very dangerous place. We are pilgrims here. This is not our home. We are children of the kingdom of God. We've been called out of this world. So ecclesia means, that's what church means. It means the called out ones. We've been called out of this world into the kingdom of God, and we've been sent back into the world as ambassadors. 2 Corinthians says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. We are the foreigners here. We are the ones transplanted back into the world. Called out and sent back into enemy territory, a hostile world. The world is not our friend as Christians. The world wants us to conform to its standards, its ways, and its morals. The danger, of course, is that we as Christians will try to conform. There's always that danger, that we will fall in line with the ways of the world, the thinking of the world. It lures us, it entices us. Yet Scripture tells us not to be conformed, very specifically, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed, to see the danger and take evasive action, to see the traps, to see the pitfalls, the lures, the enticements, and be aware enough and astute enough to see the obvious. In 1 John, the evangelist John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a pretty hard statement. Don't love the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, that comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. When we of our own will and our own volition follow the world's practices because of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, seeking material wealth and all the world has to offer, we turn our back on God's call. And this is the pride of life. The world has won us over, and we become trapped in the world's ways, and we can't live by the kingdom of God's ways. It's only a foolish Christian, then, who cannot see the world for what it is, a very dangerous place for us to live the Christian life. Again, Paul in Romans 12 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Scripture sets up this two standards, God's way or the world's way. And it's very stark. So the world, like our highways and our roads out there, is not safe. It's not safe. We have to be aware. We have to have our wits about us. We have to watch our blind spots. We have to watch and see if something's not creeping up on us spiritually, some sin that's coming up to overtake us. We have to watch our direction. We have to make sure we're not going to get lost. And that's the world we see on the outside. It's allure, it's enticements, it's temptations. Come on over, come on in, be like us, join us. But there is a greater danger than just the world. And a greater danger lies within ourselves. We cannot blame the world for all of our failings. We can't say the devil made us do it. We can't blame the world. Because we have to admit our own willingness, our own tendency to sin. And it is a choice that we make. While the world is a danger, the bigger danger comes from within ourselves. James says, when we are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. His own evil desire is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Yes, it's our own evil desires. It's the man and the woman within that draw us into sin as well. And each one of us knows it. And the older we get, the more we realize it. It's interesting, that passage in scripture where, in John 8, where the woman caught in adultery is brought to Jesus, and he says that he was without sin, cast the first stone, and they started to leave. And scripture says it, starting with the oldest. Why is that? Because the older we get, the more we're convinced that we are sinful beings. There's a call now for an awareness of our true selves and a determination to master the flesh, to master the desires of the body, to bring our human character and our human ways under full control of the Holy Spirit, fully submitting to the Spirit's move in our lives. There is a battle going on within each human being, each Christian, and someone must be the master. Either you will be mastered by your inner spirit, the natural self, or you will submit to being mastered by the Holy Spirit working in your lives. Someone must master, and someone will. Either you and your flesh, or the Holy Spirit that is within you. One must dominate. So while we have the world there enticing but not forcing us to sin, flesh is a different matter. We already have the desire to sin within us, so no enticing is necessary. We want to engage in our sins because we want to. So let the battle begin. The battle is on. Paul calls the church, the believers in Ephesus, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you, there's an urgency, there's an imperative there, that it creates effort. We have to work on it. We have to be fully aware of the dangers outside and within. And we have to work on it and put effort into it. The Christian life cannot be lived passively, any more than a healthy body can be attained by living a passive, inactive life. The Christian life must be worked on. There must be determination, there must be effort, there must be purpose, there must be intention. And in case you think that your battle is particularly unique, Paul tells us that this same inner battle is the same for everybody. And he had the same inner battle. In Romans 7 he says, For what I do is not the good I want to do. Right there, the great evangelist Paul says, the good I want to do, I don't do it. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now if ever there was someone in scripture, other than Jesus, if there was someone in scripture who we could hold up to and know, oh, he's got it all worked out. He says it right there in the scriptures. He says, I haven't. I still do the evil things I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. When you want to do something that's good, evil is right there with you, enticing you away. Paul makes it a reality for him and for us. The sin nature is within. So the world entices us, and the flesh has its natural tendencies, but the greatest threat there is a devil, and he is our adversary, and he's going to make every effort he can to keep you from living the holy life that God calls you to. He's active in your life, in the community, trying to entice you away, and tempt you, and trip you up. 1 Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's active hostility against the Christian. He's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There's a call here to fully recognize the reality of the world we're living in, the nature of our human nature, and the fact that we've got a very active, hostile enemy coming after us. The world is a dangerous place. The world puts on its ungodly ways on display. The inner person, the inner man or woman, has a natural tendency to do things his or her way rather than God's way. And the devil for sure is going to put stumbling blocks and temptations right in your path. So what are we going to do? How are we possibly going to face each day with those three truths? Paul speaks to the Galatian church. He says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There's that battle going on. For these are opposed to each other. And later he says, for those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. There's an active step in each Christian's life where we have to crucify our sinful nature. And we have to do it every day. Some encouraging words. Again from Paul in 1 Corinthians. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So you're not alone. Every temptation that every one of us comes across, every temptation that we come under, is common. And here's the good news. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Anybody fighting a temptation now and today, this season of their life? It's not something you cannot bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is faithful. And again, in Romans, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're under temptation, when we see those enticements of the world, and we're fighting against our inner spirit, God is faithful, God is with us. The world is a dangerous place for the Christian. The Christian is in danger from himself, and the devil is our active and determined adversary. And he will not let up one single day of our lives. So as we buckle up when we get into a car, recognizing the dangers that are out there on the roads and the highways, so we ought to do likewise in our Christian life and buckle up, recognizing that there's danger out there. We need to enter each day fully aware of the dangers that lie ahead and the dangers that lie within. We need to buckle up and prepare for the day's battle. Ephesians 6, of course, familiar text, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God before you leave your house in the morning. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. When the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground because you've buckled up. You're equipped. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Just like we've been out on the road, we buckle up. We have well-equipped vehicles now to keep us safe. But we've got to be alert for the dangers that are lurking. The Lord God is with us, each one of us, on this journey. If we stay close to Him, He will stay close to us. And when we make mistakes, when we do sin, when we do fall into temptation, He does not condemn. He does not condemn. John 3:17, less familiar than John 3:16, says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. If you are a Christian today, if you are believing the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not condemned. You are subject to temptation. You are subject to that inner sinful spirit. You are subject to the adversary who comes against you every day. But you are not condemned. God loves you. He wants you to live lives that bring Him glory. Your victory over sin and temptation is for His glory. And He will not leave you to fight this battle alone. In Hebrews we read, God has said, "I will never leave you, never will I forsake you." You're out doing battle each day. God says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." And then in Hebrews 4:16 it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence." We can come to God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you're under a tremendous temptation, caught in a sin, go directly to the throne of grace. He is not there to condemn you. He's there to forgive you and to welcome you back home. So buckle up out there. Be safe. God is faithful. He will get you through today. He will get you through the next day if you stay close to Him. I'll give the final word to Jeremiah in Lamentations. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. This world we're in, the sinful nature that we are battling, and the devil that's coming against us, we will not be consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Each day, we know when we step into our vehicles that there's danger out there, so we take all the precautions we can, but that we should be doing the same thing spiritually every day, knowing there's danger out there that will take us out in an instant. If we're not aware of the world and the flesh and the devil. Let us pray. Father God, thank You for making us aware of the challenges we face from without and from within. Lord, open our eyes to see the folly of the world's way. And Lord, open our eyes to see how we have fallen into the world's way in so many ways. Lord, give us victory over ourselves too, as we fight that inner spirit, that inner sinful spirit. And Lord, give us courage to stand and resist the devil when he tempts us. Lord, we give You thanks for Your faithfulness, for Your forgiveness, and for Your comfort. Hear us today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go from here today, go knowing there are dangers abounding for every one of us as Christian men and women seeking to do the will of God. But also go knowing the comfort that Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you. Buckle up. Amen.